Hello to all our listeners and welcome to this podcast episode by AusChem. We're here today with Santiago Mateos, Director of International Business Development at NetConcepts China. Could you first just give us a quick brief introduction of yourself and what you're doing at NetConcepts?
Well, thanks for your time. Great to connect to the AusChem community here. As mentioned, my name is Santiago. I'm an Australian and British national based in Beijing, and I work for a company called NetConcepts, which is a Chinese digital marketing agency with 5 offices and 200 staff across China. And we work with clients from Louis Vuitton to REA Group to Orbitz, Expedia, and many other brands. So great to join you here today and look forward to discussing online marketing in China.
Cool. So just to begin with, and on the topic of online marketing, can you give our listeners a bit of an insight into some of the challenges that Australian companies face when developing online strategies for China?
It's a great question because there's a lot of debate in Australia. I think there's more information about the online opportunity in China. And I think a lot of Australian companies focus on the huge numbers. So the total number of internet users in China is above 700 million. There's over 500 million accessing the internet from mobile. We all know that social media is huge in China. There's a penetration rate of over 95%. There's over 380 million buying online in China. So I think a lot of Australian businesses look at the numbers and they see a great opportunity. But the thing with China, from an online perspective, is it's a very, very unique ecosystem. There's no Google, there's no Facebook, there's no Twitter. There's many of the top 200 websites blocked in China. And that just means that even though the opportunity is huge, the ecosystem is very different, which means Australian companies need to understand what is the local ecosystem from a digital perspective. The other main challenge is understanding how consumer behavior can vary across markets. So we have a lot of companies that come to us and ask for a particular strategy or tactic or channel development based on assumptions that they've used in a Western market or based on strategies they've used in Australia or America that don't necessarily apply to how they would be effective in China. So despite the huge numbers online in China, I think one of the challenges for Australian companies is to make sure they take the time to understand the unique digital environment and then also to learn more about the consumers and how they behave online in terms of researching information, browsing information, and buying online. One of the biggest differences in terms of consumer behavior is that Chinese consumers may not be as familiar with your brand. Even if it's famous in Australia or overseas, the Chinese or the English brand name in China may not be well known if there's no marketing or branding done. And then there's also a lot of inherent mistrust online. One of the reasons social media took off is because consumers for the first time could access information that wasn't just from the government. They could access information from other peers and other people where they could access more information. In terms of buying behavior, there are also various frauds and fake websites. And that's one of the reasons why companies like Tmall have been so successful, because they've managed to develop trust in their company, in their platforms, in the vendors in their platforms, and also the products sold by vendors on the platforms. They're all important. And how this impacts Australian companies is when they're starting to develop a digital strategy for China, if the brand is not well known and there's not a comprehensive digital strategy developed from a branding and performance perspective, it just means that consumers will take time. They won't necessarily convert on the first time they come to the website. They need to take time to build trust in your brand and your offer. And one of the important things to do is just to have the right strategy in place and the right expectations.
Thank you for that, Santiago. So you've touched on some of the challenges that Australian companies are facing, but what do you think that these companies that are trying to develop a strategy, what are their expectations when they are developing their online strategies for entering the Chinese market?
Well, I think that a lot of Australian companies are looking at China as a growth market, and there's a lot of potential. The reason I talked about expectations is because due to a lack of experience in the market in China from a digital perspective, which is very, very different to offline, and the lack of education the expectations are not always aligned to what's realistic. So to give an example, I think that there are a number of Australian companies that have made a good first step in developing a Tmall store, but then they've fallen short of developing actually a Tmall strategy. The thing with Tmall is there's tens of thousands of other stores there that you're competing with. And even though there's hundreds of millions of consumers within the Tmall ecosystem, there's a lot of competition. And I think if you don't have the right strategy in place, it could be easy for an Australian company to list a Tmall store and say, oh, consumers aren't buying because maybe our price points are too high. And I know that I have a number of companies come to me and have said that. And I've asked them, what is the Tmall marketing strategy? And they said, well, no, we don't have a Tmall marketing budget. We've listed the store. When we get consumers buying and more transactions registered, then we can invest more in marketing. And so that's probably a sort of example of not having the right expectations from Tmall. Just listing a store is not enough. It's the same with Weibo, for example. I know a number of Australian companies have been excited to open a Weibo page as part of their social media strategy. One of the things they don't realize is you actually need a strategy to acquire fans and followers. So social media is judged, in a KPI perspective in terms of views, shares, followers, any sort of engagement metric. But in order to actually have a fan base in which you can communicate to, send content to, you need to have a strategy to acquire fans and followers, and that's very different to just publishing content. So I think the example is similar to Tmall. Just opening a Tmall store or just opening a Weibo page and having some content or listing products on Tmall is not enough. There needs to be an overarching strategy and an acquisition strategy. It's the same with, for example, an app. I know Australian companies that have taken good steps in developing apps in the education market or other markets that are relevant to their sector, and then they've 6 months later wanted to know why has the app not been downloaded as much as they would have expected, because they've obviously done research of the opportunity, but they haven't had enough education or insight or experience in China to know how to promote it. And again, the app is the same as a website or a Tmall store or Weibo page. It also needs its own promotion strategy, different to the branding or the website strategy. How can you promote your app within the app environment? And the difference for all of these platforms and channels is, from an app perspective, in the Western market, there could be a couple of major app stores: Google Play, Apple App Store. In China, there's probably 100 app stores, so the distribution is a lot more fragmented, maybe about 10 major. So, if you've launched an app, for example, and it's not getting the downloads you expected, first thing you want to look at is distribution. Must be in the major app markets, app stores, and there's many of them. The second is you'll need a strategy to actually optimize within the app environment. And going from there, the same with the website. Some Australian companies may have translated Chinese content to their website, added pages, or maybe developed a new Chinese website. That's a big emphasis that we place in our strategies. We often have a dedicated Chinese website, and we can talk about Baidu and how the Baidu algorithm works and how it's different to Google later. But there are some Australian companies that have done a good thing by creating a Chinese website, but then they don't know how the website can get found. It's not discoverable by the Baidu search spider. And what that means is the website's created, but users cannot actually find it because the search engine can't find it. The search engine in China can't understand where it is, what content is on there, if the content is valuable, if they should rank the keywords. And then, for example, when a consumer is searching for Australian universities or travel to Australia or whatever it is they're searching for in whatever industry, if the website is not found by the search engines, consumers won't find it. So all these are just examples of Australian companies that are excited by the big numbers, the Tmall numbers, the Weibo, the WeChat numbers, app numbers, search engine user numbers, but without having specific strategies and tactics and the right expectations and marketing strategies. I think a lot of companies end up scratching their head after 6 to 12 months if they don't have the right inputs and expectations in place.
following on from what companies' expectations are versus what actually happens when they launch their brands online in China, can you give some other examples of issues that Australian companies face when starting a digital strategy?
Yeah, and I should mention that there's many Australian companies that are doing great things, they're getting great results, there's various ways they've gone about that, working with different providers, etc. So don't want to take the emphasis away from that, just want to make sure that any of the OzChamp community, if they're looking at entering, they're just smart about how they go about it. So to answer your question, one of the things to think about is your brand name. So having an English brand name, you want to think about if that's going to be most effective in China, or you translate and localize for China. You can pick brand names based on the sound or the meaning. And there have been some instances of Australian companies that have picked brand names that were translated by interns or students. And some companies have actually had problems where no one really picked up what the meaning or what the nuance of the characters chosen were. And in one example I'm thinking of, this tourism company had a lower percentage of Chinese tourism numbers as a proportion of international than their competitors. And it was only when they looked at the brand name and they saw that it was actually very off-putting for potential customers. Just the nuance of the characters they chosen were not really in line with what this FIT tourism market were interested in. So they then had to do some rebranding, reproduct development, marketing, engagement with various trade stakeholders, etc. So brand name is very important. So I suggest have a think about that and what works, and make sure you get it registered, and also, you know, take precautions like buying your domain and etc. Another thing to think about is just from a basic perspective, language and content. I think Australian companies are very familiar with exporting abroad, etc. And maybe in a lot of Anglo or English speaking markets, language is super important in any Asian market. In China, I've seen a lot of companies that have tried to, you know, do auto translations of the content on their website or their marketing copy, whether that's printed or at events or online. And sometimes they say, well, when we see more results from this market, we'll invest more in, you know, more premium translations. But, you know, if you're trying to sell a product at a high price point with some sort of premium, if you don't effectively convey the destination or the product heritage or the company history, if you don't make a compelling value proposition that's effectively translated into Chinese, you're not actually giving yourself the best chance to get the conversions that you want to then make further decisions about, you know, marketing budget, etc. in future. So brand name and content are important. There's a lot of resources in Australia to make sure you get the translations you want. So just bear in mind, if it's a university, you want to make sure you're effectively selling the destination, not just the university and the courses, but, you know, why Sydney or why Perth or why Melbourne or why another city. Because just translating from the English website, this applies to any industry, just translating from any English website, you're not actually thinking about the end user and what they need. So translation of existing content is one thing. The other thing is what content you want to create new that will be just for this audience. And then you want to make sure you do it at a high quality so that you give yourself the best chance of building a bit of a brand and awareness and interest in your product. That will help you, you know, make sales and you know, develop relationships with customers. You can have repeat business. So translation, websites are important. Some of the other issues they face may be based on, for example, you launch a website but you don't know about search marketing. So as I mentioned, the unique ecosystem here doesn't include Google or Facebook or Twitter. You have, you know, search engine companies like Baidu, you have Sogo, you have Sanyoling, you have Shama from mobile. There's a number of different search engines that are very different. Social media, you have WeChat and Weibo, the list goes on. So from a search perspective, once you've launched a website, you want to make sure it's found by the Chinese search engines on PC and mobile. That can be a very technical endeavor. from a SEO perspective, there's many differences. Budget will always prefer Chinese-only websites. It will always prefer official Chinese websites. Baidu algorithm will also prefer local links, so local resources, social media sites. You don't want to be linking to your Facebook or your Twitter, etc. And there's many other factors that, you know, a search engine like Baidu will take into account to value your website. And as I mentioned before, you need the local search engines to be able to find your website so consumers can find it when they're searching for the information. So language and content is important there too. What keywords you're optimizing for on and off site for your website. Then there's other issues like when you're running search campaigns on Baidu or 360 or Solgo, which is backed by Tencent, and Xiaoma, which is mobile and backed by Alibaba. And just as a quick aside, many companies are only doing Baidu. PPC is a biddable auction model, which means you're competing with other advertisers. You bid more, you're more likely to get a higher position, you pay more per click. That just means you're paying a premium. There's a lot of cheaper traffic and ability to acquire cost-effectively customers across different search engines, so that's something to keep in mind. But back to the point about search engines, the keywords that you use, make sure you're looking at keywords that actually are used by Chinese consumers. So sometimes Australian companies may say, oh, these are the keywords we use in America or Australia or elsewhere for Yahoo or Bing or Google. Can you translate them for me? What's most important is to understand how Chinese consumers are actually searching for information online. What are the actual keywords they use? And this is something that you can acquire data for. So you can ask me, what is the total number of search traffic for this keyword versus that? And it can be very, very different. So you want to be looking at keywords that are related to your industry, to your company, to your brand, to your product you offer, to your competitors, and knowing which are the ones most relevant to your brand that will bring the best traffic, which are the ones have the more or least competition, and which are the ones that have the highest organic demand because they're using different words to search for information. So it's a very important thing to know about that. And you can have like literal translations or semantic translations, which look at the nuance, so the way that they naturally search for these things. So that's all important. So we looked at brand names, we looked at websites, translations, a little bit of basic information about search. A couple of other things to think about would be your domain. So there's an issue of, do you have a .cn or .com or .com.cn? There are successful examples of most of those. A lot of Chinese companies are now having .com. Generally, Baidu prefers .cn. But again, you can have a .com and still be effective. And there's many examples of companies that have a .com or .cn. So I would just look at finding if the domain you want is available. That's very easy to find out and purchase. And even if you don't plan on launching a website immediately, it's a good idea to buy the domain so a competitor doesn't buy it ahead of you. And that's something that a lot of Australian companies may not know is an issue, but actually there's Chinese companies that are buying domains that have your brand name in them. So by being proactive, you can prevent that risk. Then in terms of hosting, Baidu will always prefer hosting in China. Why is that the case? It's because it means the server is in China, the website will load a lot faster, it means the consumer will have a better user experience, and Baidu will always want to rank websites that give a better user experience. And again, for mobile, you know, Baidu started to recognize responsive design from about Spring Festival last year. Before that, you would have needed a standalone mobile site to get good visibility in mobile search rankings in China, and mobile has more traffic than PC these days. Then now you can have a responsive site across mobile, tablet, and PC devices, and you know, Baidu will start to recognize that a bit better. So it's just understanding how does the local environment work, but hosting, the closer to the consumer, the better, especially if it's a heavy website, e-commerce website. You would need to have an entity in China, a WFOE, in order to get an ICP license in order to host in China. If you don't have an entity in China, have a think about how important the digital part of the strategy is. Another alternative workaround is potentially to host in a market like Hong Kong or Japan until such time as, which is better than Australia, because it's physically closer. Most likely, if you do testing, it will be a lot faster for the end user to load pages. And if you have a website now, ask someone you know in China to try to download it. You'll be mortified when you realize that actually it could take, you know, 10, 15 plus seconds to load. So hosting is very important because consumers now, they want information quickly. They've grown up accessing and getting what they want when they want. If you have a slow Australian website, even if it's in Chinese, but it's not hosted closer to China or in China, it's going to minimize results. A couple other things to think about, maybe we can mention at another time, but there are some of the key things to look at initially.
For the final section of this podcast episode, what are some suggestions you have for Australian companies that want to market and sell online in China?
Okay, so we've looked at the big numbers, the big opportunity, the difference in the environment, some of the expectations, want to make sure they're realistic, and I tried to give just a few examples of some issues that come up. In terms of suggestions, I think the important thing is just to know how does it all come together and where do you start, how do things need to be resourced, how does it fit into the overall strategy. So companies should think about creating a Wolfie in China and what that impacts in terms of the overall corporate and then marketing and then digital strategy. So for example, having a company in China, a Wolfie, allows you to list on Tmall China as opposed to Tmall Hong Kong, for example, just because Tmall China has XYZ restrictions and Tmall Hong Kong has less. And some of those differences are, for example, having a company in China, having customer service, return policy, etc. And then there are differences in terms of the traffic on Tmall China or Tmall Hong Kong, and then end result and sales, for example. So having an entity in China is useful. Also, from a WeChat perspective, there are restrictions if you have an entity in China or not. And many of these social media companies are changing their policies a lot. The search engines change their policies a lot. There's also, from a search perspective, whether you have a Wolfie in China or not will impact on the way you need to go about setting up an account on Baidu or 360 or Solgo or Shama, and the minimum spend may change. So having a think about the China company formation does impact on digital. So if you're very interested in digital, it is related. So starting point, have a think about the corporate strategy. Then from digital, again, it's understanding that you couldn't just open a Weibo page or a WeChat account and expect results without any strategy or tactics. They do need to have a significant thought and strategy developed and inputs put in to get the result that you want. The opportunity is huge if you go about it in the right steps. Listing a Tmall store just in and of itself may not get you the results. Why? Because most likely you won't get the traffic, and also most likely, unless you're super famous in China, doesn't matter how famous you are abroad, how well people know you, they must know you in China. They must also trust that it's the official store or website or WeChat page. And if you're trying to sell online, they need to trust the platform and the process. And you know, you can sell online in China on your own website, which requires, you know, certain licenses. You can sell on a third-party website that you lease a store. And one of the reasons that's successful is because there's inherent trust in some of those companies that have built marketplaces. But again, the issue there is, you know, do you have control? Do you have the right branding, the right positioning? And even though they break down a lot of barriers for you, there are some limitations in terms of control and data, etc. So it's all, you know, pros and cons of each. I always recommend having a Chinese website because it allows you to start to promote your brand and get some awareness in the China market. That means if you have, for example, a Tmall store or a JD store, when the consumer sees your Tmall store but then goes back to Baidu to see whether you're a real company and your products are real and whether the vitamins you sell are healthy or whether whatever it is that you sell is genuine. Because remember, the consumer behavior is very different. There's a lot more mistrust because of scandals. It's just a fact in the market. So having as many touch points as possible will help reach the consumer where they are, whether it's in social media, or whether it's PC or mobile, whether it's a Tmall store, or whether it's a website. It's all important building trust. It always starts from a website. It starts from a website. From a website, it's your hub. You then link to your social media. It allows people to then find you on social media. They may prefer to connect and stay connected to you on social media because it's probably where the end user is consuming more media content day to day. Then it can link to your JD or Tmall. And even from there, there's, you know, interlinkages. So for example, within your WeChat, you can pull in mobile HTML5 pages. So if you have a website that's mobile, you can then have a better WeChat account because you can pull in mobile content. If you have a JD store, for example, you can pull in your JD store and have that within the WeChat environment and not have to click and go away into another ecosystem. You want to sort of understand where is the consumer wanting to engage with you. If they're at the research phase or a buying phase, they'll have their own preferences. WeChat has a lot of amazing opportunities, and I think the perception of China is still that, you know, it's a low value-added manufactured export-oriented economy. Actually, China is starting to innovate. What some of these technology companies are doing, especially in mobile and social media, is world-leading. What Tencent are doing through WeChat platform development is amazing, and there are great opportunities opening up for Australian companies. Not always available if you don't have a woofie, but more and more they're connecting in Australia's important market in the international expansion strategies of some of these internet companies. And so they're, you know, for example, WeChat is accepting AUD and some of the things they're rolling out. So I think that's really exciting. And just on that point, being able to accept payment is very important. So understand if you have a website or even if you have offline stores in Australia, understanding what are the payment solutions that work for Chinese, whether it's UnionPay at your stores in Australia. And there's examples of like even wineries that have sold hundreds of thousands of dollars of wine because they've simply accepted China UnionPay at their vineyard. And when they've had a wealthy investor or tourist come and they see they want to buy a lot of wine, and then you've accepted China UnionPay, which allows them to access unlimited funds from their home banking account, they've then been able to make a huge transaction. The same with online. You want to accept the right online payments. But just going back to website and Tmall, everything comes back to the website. You link from there to your social media, to then your e-commerce store, and there are pros and cons of different e-commerce platforms. If it's third party, you can do it on your own, but as I mentioned, they do break down a lot of barriers. So it could be, for example, for a lot of Australian companies, they're having a website, but then selling, transacting off a third party is the way to go. And Austrade released a report last year, which has a lot of good information you can access about the China e-commerce landscape and the platforms, etc. There are some vertical specific platforms in the food sector, in other e-commerce sectors. So you want to understand for your company, for your product, for your brand, which one are you most likely to stand out in and get the best results. And then knowing how do you promote a Tmall store, what are the strategies, how do you promote a website, what are the strategies. From a website perspective, paid search and organic search on Baidu and 360 and Solgo and Shama, these are always going to be the ways to drive the most traffic, the lowest cost. But just having a brand, website and Tmall is usually not enough. You want to engage across social media to build relationships. You also want to see, if you search, for example, your brand on Baidu, the Chinese brand name or your English brand name, you want to look at all the other results that come up, because just having your website indexed is not enough. You want to, from a consumer's perspective, you want them to be able to find many other websites or news sites or forums or bulletin boards. This is what we call online reputation management, that talk about you, because that will help them have trust in your brand, in your product. And then wherever you sell it, whether it's offline or online on your brand.com website, e-commerce store, or whether it's a third-party store that you lease, they're going to be more likely to convert if you've taken time to publish content elsewhere across the net. So it's a very fragmented digital ecosystem. You want to be publishing content where the end user is. And I think that's a lot of information we provided. I think that's probably a good discussion starting point from today. So the recap is: start with the website, have the right brand name, get it hosted, do your e-commerce store, but make sure there's a strategy to promote it as well as the brand overall across search engines, social media. And a lot of that is just about publishing content, the right content that speaks to the target audience to help convey your value proposition and selling points. And, you know, don't forget that there's many companies out there that can help you, or even in Australia, there's some resources you can use that will help you get the information you need so you have the right strategy, input, insights, and then that will help you get the best results. And, of course, Auschamp companies are very welcome to ask us if they have further questions.
Well, thank you for your time today, Santiago, and we thank you for your wealth of knowledge.